politics, progress, game boards, objects, view like pawns to be change up our mindset. Value of the dollars at the center of this conflict. Their lives only matter if they serve to make a profit. But if a midget sees further on the shoulders of the giant, then we should see further than the tyrant and build a future within alliance where success is our science in the quest to go higher to the heart of the city. Wake up, world. You are listening to The Heart of the City. Happy Wednesday. I am your host, Malik Boyd. I hope that wherever you are in good spirits and all is well. The show theme today, She Can Win. We really should have titled it, She Did Win, a couple of times. The guest, none other than Jasmine Sessoms, the founder and CEO of She Can Win. Her biography is pages long, and we're going to get to that and her mission and what she's doing in the city. There's so much to talk about, so much opportunity that is inside of not only her own footprint, but the brand's footprint itself. But I also want to address one particular thing as we start. You know, we always start our show in prayer. Just in 24 hours, four people were killed. One of the more violent 24-hour periods that we've had in the city this year. As you know, a couple of days ago, we had nine individuals shot. We had toddlers shot, newborn. I mean, this thing is getting out of hand. Early Tuesday through this Wednesday morning, a 48-year-old man shot dead, 58th Street, West Philly. 23-year-old man shot in the driveway in Almy. One man was killed and two others wounded in East Germantown. A 25-year-old woman was stabbed twice in Kensington. This is really impactful for me because I think, you know, we talk about politics and we talk about progress, but we have to start talking more about love and how to love on each other and figuring out how to navigate through our challenges and ensuring that we're all here for the long haul. It's time to, we could say put the guns down all day long, and that's great and that's a good message. But it's the intent, it's the heart that has to change. If the heart is not changing, we will still have these same kinds of incidences in our city. And we need to be covered in prayer. And so to that end, I have none other than Michelle Lawrence, the CEO of Michelle Speaks. And if you were just listening to 860, you heard her go through her show, Michelle Speaks Radio, which has been impactful in our community. We are so thankful to have you with us on our segment, and we're going to ask you to lead us into our two-minute prayer for the city.
Amen. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we are coming with bowed heads and with humbled and hurtful hearts. But you already promised that earth has no hurt that heaven cannot heal. And so though our hearts may be aching, you have the ability through your love to heal what no man can heal, to cure what no man can cure. And so God, we're asking that in the midst of this death and destruction, this tirade that is wrecking our city, that you would come and spread a love, God, that we would exude a love that not only is in a statue form in the center of our city, but God, that we would be the reflection of love that would run from heart to heart. We're asking, oh God, that we would begin to examine ourselves and the things that cause us to feel pain, that we would turn them over to you and not take it out on our brother or our sister. but that, God, we would also see the hurt in someone else and hug on them and love on them and let them know they're not alone. This journey didn't promise to be easy, but you promised that we would not be alone, and so we're not. And so, God, we're asking even now that you would go through the streets, the corridors, that you would rain down a blessing that we can't even begin to imagine. A blessing of joy, a blessing of love, a blessing of peace, oh God. These are the things that we're seeking and we are in need of even now. And so we're calling on you because we know and believe that you can do everything but fail. You have already demonstrated by the very fact that we are able to speak even now, the fact that we can hear this show and this program even now, the fact that you are making way even now. We believe that you are able. But, oh God, it is also up to us to be obedient sons and daughters, to act in a very mindful and deliberate way in demonstrating the very love that you have demonstrated to us. In sending your only begotten Son, you gave a sacrifice that none could imagine. And so love comes with sacrifice. It means we have to lay down pride in order to love. It means we have to lay down being angry in order to love. It means we have to lay down trying to be right in order to love. Because at the end of the day, love covers a multitude of sins. It covered ours. That's how we were restored. And so let us be proactive in restoring others and loving on them the way you have loved on us. We ask all these things knowing that you're a God that hears and answers prayers. It's in the mighty and matchless, marvelous name of Jesus the Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we thank you, Michelle, as we do with every minister who has prayed for us. Thank you for your ministry, and we pray God's continued blessings on your life. So, EKG, I'm going to get right to it. We know that everyone has been charged in some way, shape, or form around the Trump administration. There are some that are like, woohoo, that's my guy no matter what. And then there are some that were like, he bet not come down my street, right? And so, and then there's everything in between. And so we know Tuesday, President Trump released his first budget proposal. Now, I want to make this clear because we don't need media trying to parlay this as they typically do and rile you guys up. Understand that lawmakers are most likely going to dismiss the majority of this budget, and this is what they traditionally tend to do with what we call the White House wish list. But as CNN reports and other networks will report, this is a reflection of a priority, okay? So let's get the numbers to you very clear so you understand the numbers and understand what's being decreased and what's being increased. So, and these are proposed, again, and will be shot down probably for the most part and compromised through series of late-night sessions in the houses. So the Department of Labor is at $12.1 billion for 2017. It's being proposed for a 19.8% decrease to 9.7%. The Department of the Interior, $13.2 billion currently, 10.9% decrease down to $11.7 billion. The Department of State and International Aid, $39.7 billion currently, proposed to go to $28.2 billion, a 29.1% budget decrease. The Department of Justice, $28.8 billion. Headed to 27.7, a 3.8% decrease. The Department of Housing and Urban Development, $46.9 billion, currently headed to $40.7 billion, 13.2% decrease. The Department of Homeland Security, $41.3 billion currently, headed to $44.1 billion, a 6.8% increase. Department of Education, $68.2 billion, headed to $59 billion, 13.5% decrease. The Corps of Engineers, from $6 billion to $5 billion, 16.3% budget decrease. The Environmental Protection Agency, $8.2 billion to $5.7 billion, a 31.4% budget decrease. The Department of Transportation, $18.6 billion, headed to $16.2 billion, a 12.7% budget decrease. The Department of Defense, from $521.8 billion to $574.5 billion, a 10.1% budget increase. The Department of Veteran Affairs, $74.5 billion to $78.8 billion, a 5.8% budget increase overall. Those are the areas of challenge. If you're on the left, those are the areas of opportunity on the right. And somewhere in between, we will find the solution and compromise. But those are the numbers. Those are the proposed changes to these particular areas. And there are groups like the Chemical Safety Board, the Corporation for National and Community Service, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Institute of Museum and Library Services, the Legal Services Corporation, the National Endowment for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Humanities, the Neighborhood Reinvestment Corporation, the Overseas Private Investment Corporation are all on the chopping block. My thoughts around this are that there are opportunities in these challenging moments, not to always advocate and go fight down DC. DC is one central hub. But if you understand your power and you understand the power of the commercial corridors in your neighborhood, if you understand the relationship that you can truly develop, not the one the ward leaders tell you, but the one that you can truly develop with your city council and your state reps and those individuals, you can maneuver the state and local budgets to make it make sense. Quite frankly, there are some areas in the city of Philadelphia that let the elected official know if they are invited in. And I won't tell them by name, but some of you live in them and some know of them. And these neighborhoods are self-sufficient. They're like, listen, we'll let you know what we want and how we want it, because we are committed to building our community, treating each other properly, and building our commercial corridors and making sure that our dollars stay invested. If we do those things in our neighborhoods, if we focus on the business improvement districts and the commercial corridors, ensuring that our small businesses get supported, that our minority businesses get opportunity, we won't have to worry so much about what's happening at 1600 Pennsylvania, because we would have a better Pennsylvania right here at home. So let's focus at home first. Whatever is going to happen in DC is going to happen, but there are so many opportunities for us to be better right here at home. The last piece that we talk about today in the EKG is the House Committee. PA House Committee has requested former Governor Rendell to testify about the convention bonuses from the DNC. As you know, and those who are listening from other cities, thank you for listening in. And you guys may have heard, our House Appropriations Committee is asking the governor to talk about the DNC's bonuses. Why? Because Governor Wolf and state Republicans are all criticizing this bonus, notifying all of us that there were $10 million from the state budget that was granted to the DNC convention. It is the largest single donation in the $86 million fundraising effort for the DNC. Without that $10 million, technically, it could be said that the committee may not have had the surplus to begin with. Most expected that money to go back, as it was stated that it would. We will send it back if we do not use it. Instead, it was cut in significant bonuses to vendors, staffers, friends, and family. And so there was a letter sent today which stated from Stanley Saylor that said, in order to get a better sense of future legislative efforts, please expect Mayor Rendell to answer questions about how the surplus funds were spent. This hearing will give you an opportunity to explain this situation from your view, here's the key part, as well as whether the state should continue to help fund non-state government functions such as political conventions. Herein lies an opportunity for you to add your voice. Call your state legislator. Send them a message. Talk to them about where you want your dollars to go. If you want your dollars to go to non-state government functions, which is totally fine and I think is needed in some cases, let them know. If you are interested in having those funds dispersed, but more oversight, let them know that too. And for those who are against it, don't just scream in the barbershop. Send a message. Talk to your local representative. That hearing is scheduled to be held on June 15th. We will see if former Mayor Ed Rendell will attend and what his official response will be. More importantly, what will your response be? Get involved. That is our EKG for the week. The song. You're really going to like this one. Tears for Fears. Everybody wants to rule the world. Tears for Fears. Everybody wants to rule the world. Everybody wanted to dance in the studio, I can tell you that, as we played that record. If you don't know the record, check it out. Download it. Party to it. It's a great record. We will be back on the other side of the break with Jasmine Sessoms, the CEO of She Can Win. This is Heart of the City. Take out your stethoscope. Place it on the radio dial. We'll be right back after these messages.
This Wednesday, 1 p.m., drop everything that you're doing and tune in right here, the Heart of the City, with me, Malik Boyd. This is a no-holds-barred show. Real issues, real discussions, real solutions. And with some great guests hot topics, and some surprises mixed in, I promise you this will be a show you don't want to miss. The Heart of the City with me, Malik Boyd, Wednesday, 1 p.m. right here on 860.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Philly Labor RX Injured Workers Pharmacy Network, featuring PPC Pharmacy, First Choice Pharmacy, and Precision Scripts, providing injured workers with premium products and services from the point of injury through the entire healing process. The Philly Labor RX Pharmacy Network cares about injured workers.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Introducing the YMCA. What? You already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the why, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the why. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Heart of the City. I am your host, Malik Boyd. The show today, She Can Win, with none other than CEO and founder Jasmine Sessoms. Let me give you a brief bio on Jazz. She was the deputy director of the Mayor's Fund for the City of Philadelphia. In that capacity, she oversaw a budget of $15 million of the city's charitable giving budget line. Her main responsibilities were raising money for major events, managing the mayor of Philadelphia's charitable events. Prior to that, Jasmine served as the employees, programs, and campaign managers for the ACE Group. In that capacity, she served as the principal liaison for all of ACE's civic and nonprofit organizations and directed the company's philanthropic support. A lot of big words. What does that really mean? I'll tell you. United Way, City of Hope Giving, walk runs, Fairmount Park cleanup days, Powell holiday activities, the ACE Scholarship Program, the Employee Matching Gift, the Gift of Times programs, the community partnerships, the corporate sponsorships, EITC, OST, the Scholarship Program Administration, and community outreach, all under her belt. In 2015, as if that wasn't enough, she launched two initiatives that support civic engagement in the city of Philadelphia. She launched Philanthropy, a lifestyle blog that focuses on politics and philanthropy in Philadelphia. And most importantly, and the topic of today, She Can Win, a program that trains women who want to run for office, empowering them to not only be effective candidates, effective legislators, but also working behind the scenes as political operatives to move the agenda forward. She Can Win has won awards and grants from the Women's Way Social Innovation, the Barra Foundation, and even the Awesome Foundation. She holds an undergrad from Morgan State. Lots of celebration going on there.
MSU.
Yeah, MSU. And a Master's of Science in Organizational Development and Leadership from PCOM. For those that are outside of our area, that is the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. I'm going to round it off with one last thing. She was named to the Governor's Commission on African American Affairs, a committee that looks to represent the interest of African Americans throughout the state of Pennsylvania, which is why I said I probably should have titled this show She Did Win multiple times. And so, Heart City, give a warm welcome to none other than Jasmine Sessoms.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Good to have you on the show.
I'm excited. I'm really excited to be here.
We're excited as well. So tell us why She Can Win.
Well, first, in that bio, my most important title is wife and mama.
Beautiful.
I have a husband named Jay, a three-year-old daughter named Jay. She's named after my husband.
Right.
And a six-month-old named Jace.
Wow.
Those are my most important titles.
Wow. That's big business.
That is big business.
Big business.
And they come before everything else.
That's good.
But why She Can Win? Why not? It's our time. Mm. I started She Can Win 4 years ago before the craze kind of happened and Trump became president and Hillary's getting ready to run. I woke up one day and a woman came to me. She was going to run for judge. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. I'll come and help you.
Right.
We faced all sorts of challenges, things that I never even knew existed, fundraising, communications, getting in the rooms that used to be really easy to get into weren't so easy. So I started thinking, like, what is the difference between this candidate and the 11 others that I've done prior? Only difference was she was a woman. In 9 years, I had never worked on a woman's campaign.
Wow.
That is embarrassing. Wow. Why? So I started asking myself, why? Why have I never worked on a woman's campaign? Is it that I'm like anti-woman, I just didn't know? Are they not out there? Or women just aren't interested in running? So I went and talked to the two women that I knew that were elected. They gave me very candid answers. They were like, no one wants to do this, especially if you're a woman. It's harder to raise money. It's harder to get support. You have to balance work and life. You have to look like a woman, think like a man. Nobody wants to do this. I said, well, what if there were things to make it really easy? What if you could create a training, or what if someone could help you fundraise, someone that really knew the business? Do you feel like more women would run? They were like, yeah, we have no clue. So that started my journey. Like, all right, I know a couple things. I know how to do a lot of research, and I know how to raise money. So I started researching, what do women need? Because it's totally different than what men need.
Right.
We have a whole different set of needs and support that men don't need. Mm-hmm. Men don't need an agent to come and talk to someone. They don't need an advocate. They can just say, you know what? I think I want to do this today. Women, out of a list of 10 things you need, we need all 10 checked. Men need 2.
Wow.
So I created this program, and I was like, okay, let's see if we can get this thing funded. The funding has been unbelievable of foundations and corporations that have placed their faith in She Can Win and really want to see a change in government.
Mm-hmm.
We are a nonpartisan organization. So it doesn't matter if you are Republican, Democratic, Independent, Green. It doesn't matter. As long as you are a woman that is willing to change the world and you have a quality platform, we can help you. It doesn't matter if you're a housewife, a corporate exec, have a whole bunch of experience or no experience. We want to get you to where you need to be.
Wow. And that's really big. You touched on a piece in an article. It might have even been an article or NBC 10. They interviewed you, and you talked about bringing your A game. You know, like, look, that's what it's all about, bringing your A game. But what does an A game look like in a political game that's constantly changing and biased in the gender aspect? What does that look like?
So bring your A game. That means be authentic.
Hmm.
People can see right through you. I'm a South Philly girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, I lived on Bainbridge Street before it was, like, dog walking, cafe,
right.
Bike share.
Right, right, right.
So you have to be authentically you. You can't be anyone else. People see right through that, especially voters, people that you want to support you. You can't flip-flop every time you're in front of a different audience. You have to be authentic.
Hmm.
Be an authority. Know the content. Nowadays, what I see, and I don't want to say it's a millennial thing, I just think it's a people thing. And maybe it's the way the game is now. Nobody wants to study the craft.
Right.
Nobody wants to sit and do the work.
Right.
Nobody wants to do the research.
Let's just launch a website and go.
Let's go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what? I want to get up
yeah.
and run today. And
right.
don't know how many petitions you need to get on a ballot.
Right.
So you need to be an authority. You need to be awesome.
Hmm.
And awesome means something different from everyone.
Okay.
If you're running for school board, if you are running for president,
mm-hmm.
awesome really just means to me,
mm-hmm.
you have to be cool, collected, calm, and just straight up, hey, this is who I am. This is why I want to change the world. Awesome.
Wow.
Bringing your A game means you are on all the time, but you have these elements that are authentic, awesome, authority, and that no one can take away from you. This is what I know, this is who I am, and this is why you're going to vote for me, and this is why I'm running. Hmm. Don't lose that. People lose it every day.
Wow. So I noticed you talked about things that are really warm qualities of the personality. You didn't necessarily talk about technical. So you didn't say, hey, you have to have served as a committee person for 20 years. Hey, you know, you needed to be at every clam bake in every, you know, Democratic City Committee or Republican City Committee event. You had to have, you know, grab petitions for every candidate for 3 elections prior to. And so many individuals, both male and female, get that kind of rhetoric thrown at them as the barrier to entry. You didn't even say that you had to master the bylaws of city committee and be prepared to, you know, have insurgency. And you're like, no, just be awesome and be authentic, right? And so do you need people on your team that have that? You know, is that phase beginning to go away? Because it seems that people are fed up with the political messaging. They're fed up with the canned candidate perspective, right? They don't even want to see your picture, you know, with the flag in the back. And we get that. You're American. We know where your house is. Like, I understand all that. But how do you relate to me? And so is that part of what you talk about in the program with She Can Win?
Absolutely. I don't mention those technical things because that can be taught.
Hmm.
You can go and find the ward leaders. You can go find the committee people. You can find out how many petitions you need. There are certain things in a candidate that can't be taught. You have to have it in you. And it's funny, I call myself a queen maker. All day I look for crowns. Wow. That is what I'm doing. I'm looking for crowns.
Wow.
So as a queen maker, I don't care if you are the cashier and don't know anything about politics, but yet you up at your kid's school every day advocating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you advocating? You know how to use your voice? Come here, let me show you something.
Right.
I'm going to show you how to run. I'm going to show you how to win. And don't get me wrong, I've had candidates that have lost. But in those, in losing, there's a lesson. And we're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Because my candidates have a story. So the technical is important. I don't want to diminish that.
Right.
But you don't have to come to Jasmine Sessoms with, okay, I was a committee person. I'm trying to get in the ward. I have all my petitions. I know call time frontwards and backwards.
Right.
I don't need that. I need you to have the will to win and to be a good candidate. What does it mean to be a good candidate? Listen. Mm.
Mm.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. This is a whole nother world.
Yeah, it's a whole nother world. I could go on and on. Right. But honestly, all jokes aside, and we're in here having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
The technical is important, but that can be taught. The other things can't. The personal things that you need, they can't be taught. We can see them in you, though. My team can see, this is a queen right here. Let's go shine up her crown. Get it ready for her.
Wow. So this thing, it has to be attacked on multiple fronts, as I see it. It's the candidates and preparing the candidates and providing opportunity for them. But, you know, realistically, the 19th Amendment, and this is really crazy to say, you know, they say that the 19th Amendment is what gave women the opportunity to vote, which is really ridiculous because we shouldn't need amendments for anything, for minorities or for women as it relates to opportunity. And so let me ask you just point blank, is this a cultural thing as it relates to blocking women and opportunity? Is it an agenda thing where it's a certain power structure that just says, you know, we do better? Because there are studies, right? So the American National Election Studies pilot case, they said that, or actually they viewed and interviewed both sexes. They took a segment of a party and said, regardless of political persuasions, most expected men, both sexes, expected men to perform better as politicians than women. Why is that? What is the mindset around that?
Because they haven't seen any other way.
Wow.
That is exactly what it is. I was reading a study a very long time ago when I first was doing my white paper for She Can Win. And it actually, women.
Time out. I need y'all to hear that, okay? She said, as I was doing my white paper for She Can Win, meaning she did the research. She didn't go to GoDaddy and just say, oh, the domain's available. She Can Win is born. Let's throw a party on Friday. No, there was real research behind it. So go back to what you were saying about the research, because I think that is a major part.
There is a white paper.
There's a white paper.
It is published and everything.
Beautiful.
So the research says that when given the chance, women actually outperform men and are viewed as better leaders because they use the right side, the left side, and then their front side. The front side being kind of like that personal experience.
Okay.
And even though people say you should not bring your personal experiences into work, that shapes the way women do business. That's not a negative.
So let's talk about that, because it in the legislative space, the political space, the corporate space, if a woman shows her personal side, we're like, oh, she's in her feelings box today. Let's just put her in the corner while we do this meeting and conduct our business, right? And so basically what you're saying is that that's a manufactured response that has been set up to block women from progress. So brothers, you might get mad at me at the barbershop. I'm just saying these are the facts. And that truth be told, when a woman gets the bat, she hits the ball a tad bit more consistently than us brothers. And it might make sense to be inclusive instead of seclusive.
Absolutely. Let's think about it. If me, I, like I said, my first hat is mom. Hmm. So if there was a woman running the country, maybe some of these things during that health care conversation would not be viewed as pre-existing conditions because this affects this and this affects this. And because a woman is using her full lens instead of just that, oh, I'm making these laws and pushing the buttons. Again, she can win as nonpartisan. This is truly just an observation. A woman thinks with all lenses. A man is so focused, he can block out family. He can block out personal. He's just focused on getting a bill passed.
Right.
A woman, instinctively, we are not like that. That makes a better leader because we are not only making laws, but we're relating to people. What is truly the best law that we can pass that will affect the whole person? You're not just a number. It is literally steeped in research that when a woman is given a chance to lead, she leads more effectively than a man. Not better, but more effective.
So it's interesting because they break that down into what they call master status, right? And so master status is you know, the primary trait around which, you know, individuals identify. And so they say they consider women to be the political demographic as it relates to master status. In other words, the women are supposed to have their certain political priorities. And we fall into this trap. We expect the women to go grab all the women's groups and show up, right? We expect the women to be on the front lines for all the kids. That's their issue, right? The Chamber of Commerce, that's us. You know, business corridor development, that's us. Banking, that's us. Nope. See, Michelle Lawrence figured that one out, right? Or even education. They make education a women's-based issue. But the truth be told, children and education are not the only topics by a long shot that women are not only adept in defending and advocating for, but then also developing as it relates to our city. You're a case study in that. Running a mayor's fund, $15 million under your belt. And so talk about that stereotype and how that shows up and how we also can defend and change defend against it and change it for the better.
People that say that, they don't read. The first thing when you said that came to my mind was Councilwoman Sherelle Parker.
Right.
She's out here on the front lines doing business development. She just put a bill in the House where developers now have to get community input and buy-in. Women are in business. Women are actually starting businesses faster than men.
Yeah.
Therefore, to say that this is a woman's issue, this is a man's issue, you guys stay over here with your kids and your education and your bakers, that's just not true. So when people say that, you simply say, right here on page X, it shows. Women are starting businesses. There's legislation being passed by women. It's just not steeped in facts. And Malik, I got to tell you, I don't talk about speculation. I can only talk to facts.
Wow. That's tweetable, as Michelle now said. And so, you know, all right, so let's go into this since we're there. As of June 2016, right? Women held about 98 of the 535 or so seats in Congress. I mean, Iceland right? So this is crazy. Iceland scores the highest in the world for political empowerment of women. Female heads of state led the country for 20 out of the last 50 years. Women also make up 40% of the country's parliament. And yes, some of us who are going to say, oh, but that's just Iceland. That has nothing to do with PA or anything that remotely looks like, you know, something in our northern, you know, hemisphere or whatever. That's nice. But places like Cuba and Nicaragua also have a far greater percentage of women serving in their legislators than the United States. Now, I'm not going to stop there. Let's go even deeper. Rwanda. I want y'all to understand this. Rwanda, 63.8% women in parliament, either in single or in lower houses. Bolivia, 53.1%. 53.1%. So we can't blame this on the political partisanship, you know, the men cultural divide in mindset, because the truth be told, there are more oppressive countries that still have women at the helm, still recognize that women can lead and have a voice. And so really, it's a heart issue. It's a hard issue. Absolutely. Women are not chief of staff, and that's their max. Women are not just advisors, and that's their max. Women are not, you know, just legislative aides and assistants and policy people. No, they are equally as qualified. And quite frankly, as Jasmine said earlier, maybe if we got more in the game and more at the table, then we would probably have to, you know, celebrate a little more, because there would be less nonsense on the news at night and less legislative gridlock. And so she can win. We know that we don't have to have political science degrees. We don't have to come out of Fells and the Kennedy School of Government, right? We just have to have the heart to do it. How does someone get involved? What's the process? How long does the process go? And then what comes out of it when I'm the She Can Win alumni member?
So how to get involved? There are so many ways. If you're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, most people just come up to me.
Okay.
They say, oh, I saw you out and I know exactly who you are. My glasses are yellow, so it is very hard to miss me. And I will literally stop right there, give you my cell phone number, send me a text, anything. You can email me at jasmine@shecanwin.net and say, hey, I'm interested in getting involved, or I just want to learn a little bit. Can you send me information? Our next cohort, which our cohort classes run for 9 weeks, and it teaches you A through Z, but also those how to balance work life. We do a yoga retreat. We do vision boards. So we do all those girl things, but then we're getting down to the nitty gritty of, oh no, you're going to do call time. You're going to figure out these petitions. You're going to figure out your field operation and how to recruit volunteers. So we try to do a good mix of both.
Right.
Of the stuff, the personal stuff that you need to get your mind right, but also the research and the actual TA that you need to run and win. You can visit us on our website, www.shecanwin.net. And like I said, we're starting in September. This summer will be all around recruiting ladies to come to classes. Most of our classes are 20 to 35 members.
20 to 35, okay.
Any bigger and you kind of lose it.
Understood.
We do have boot camps. So we have one-day boot camps to give you overviews of what the 9 weeks look like. The last one had 72 people.
Wow.
I had to cap it. The room only held 75.
Right.
I was overwhelmed with how many people. And so we have a wait list of 302 people.
Wow.
302 on the wait list.
That's very cool.
We're going to try to do some online trainings. We want to capture everybody that's interested in any way that we can, whether it's in person, on the phone, webinars, however we can get you involved and engaged. We want all women.
And I'll tell you guys, you don't get to run, you know, the mayor's fund and not know your stuff. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there, Jazz. You know, so I can say this now. We're past the cycle, but I watched Jazz come into a particular campaign that was on the ropes as it relates to fundraising. 10 days later, you know, and I'll just use a number that's much lower than what she did, but $40,000 or so was raised in 10 days. So when you talk about call time, when you talk about understanding the ask and how to convert and what your call to action should be and how to target the group and how to develop, you know, the warm leads and identify them from the cold leads, what should get direct mail, what shouldn't, what should get a glad hand and what shouldn't, what should be brought to the highball fundraiser and what should be left on the lower ticket and the general admission. These are things that Jasmine understands and understands well. She is the Jedi when it relates to these particular areas of interest. And the most exciting thing is that you are nonpartisan.
Absolutely.
And you chose to go nonpartisan. And that's unique because most see your talent and skill set in not just Philadelphia, but in other cities, Atlanta, Houston, Chicago. And they say, hey, come up and be under me. I'm the head alderman of the city, or I'm the, you know, chief of this particular organization here in the city council or whatever. And I need you to be partisan. And you're saying, look, I get it, but I'm about good government and about good people. And so what is your trajectory for She Can Win, understanding that it is not driven around DNC, RNC? It's about, you know, the ABCs of politics and how to move forward.
The goal is to be in all 50 states training women that are ready to run. Not only that, once you get in office, what support are we providing for you? How are we keeping you there? I won't say it's easy, but anyone can run.
Mm-hmm.
Most can win. Not a lot of people can stay there.
Mm.
So not only are we looking at recruitment, then trainings, but then the support mechanisms of how are we keeping those women that we're supporting and investing in and identifying, how are we keeping them there? And then how are you guys working across the aisles with one another?
Right.
Because it can't be a us versus them when we're making laws for all of us.
Right.
So coming up in the cohort together when you're a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, you are learning each other's strengths. And maybe three of the people in the classes are running for city council. Maybe they're running for state reps. Now when you get up to Harrisburg or when you get on that floor, you're like, you know what, that's my She Can Win sister. Let's see what we can do together. It doesn't matter what, if you're a Republican, a Democrat, as long as like you have that kind of bond,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're trying to create, bonds within the class.
Right.
So that you can work more effectively. There's too big of a divide.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, give them the email and the web address so that they can get that and get involved. And we'll also push it out on our side, too.
Okay. So it's Jasmine, Jasmine, at shecanwin.net. And the website is www.shecanwin.net.
Lastly, as we wrap up the show, take the next 3 minutes to just impart something to either a young woman who is listening right now and saying, you know what, I'm done doing the typical networking sessions, you know, where they give me a free drink and no real opportunity. And I want to transition into making a real impact. Talk to her for a second and give her a gem to run with.
So I'll tell the young lady a story. One day I was in a very cushy job with company credit card and everything else. And it was fantastic. At 9 a.m. I was on my way to work. By 11:30, I had no job.
Wow.
I had absolutely no job. They said, you know what? Today will be your last day. What does one do? You think that you hit rock bottom,
mm-hmm.
and you have a family and health insurance and all of that good things are tied into your job. I would tell that young lady, that is when you are going to work your hardest. That is when you truly know what you're made of. Don't shy away from that. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to be bitter. and it is okay to be angry, funnel all of that, and take a moment and think about what are the things that I'm passionate about and that I want to do.
Wow.
When you have that in your mind, and it's going to change. Mine is still changing. Mm-hmm. Cheek and Win evolves every day. But take that energy and funnel it into what you are truly passionate about. So when you think that God has closed that door, you have to look at it as an opportunity. And I can speak to it because I've been there. I have been where God has shut a door and I'm like, oh my gosh, I am now about to go check groceries maybe. I don't mm-hmm. know what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He provides a way, one. But two, sit quietly. Get yourself centered. Think about your vision. And when I say go 110%, go 110% until you can't work anymore to achieve your goal.
Wow.
You can do it. If I can, trust me, if I can do it, you can do it. I was the kid that didn't want to go to college.
Wow.
So if I can do it, you can do it.
If she can do it, you can do it. Push through the challenges. It's okay to be bitter, but take it and make it better. Get involved. She is a queen maker. And all day, she's looking for crowns. My guess is that your crown is the next one she will spot. Get involved with She Can Win. This has been a great conversation. Deep dive with Jasmine Sessoms, the CEO and founder of She Can Win. Go to shecanwin.net. Sign up, tell a friend, take it out of the salon and the dinner conversations. Get involved in the cohort. Find out that the skill set that you're honing at home very well may be used to be effective to place a female mayor in the city of Philadelphia.
Woo-woo.
Oh, hey, you know, or a female president. These things are here and ready to be present. This has been a great show. Thank you for tuning in with me. I'm so happy. Have a beautiful week. As always, feel beautiful, look beautiful, and act beautiful. Why? Because you are beautiful. See you next week.
Within alliance with success is our science, and the quest to go higher, it's the heart of the city.